I don't know if you've been hearing it, but there's been some buzz about the RevComs. I follow the RevComs on Twitter, and I got this message in my inbox. Announcing a major new statement from Bob Avakian, revolutionary leader and architect of the new communism, coming at a crucial time. Read it, discuss it, share it, and let us know what you think. So I clicked on it, and I landed on this. New Year's Statement by Bob Avakian. A new year, the urgent need for a radically new world for the emancipation of all humanity. So it sounds like a 21st century call to remove all of us from the bonds of slavery. In my statement of August 1st of last year, I put forward the analysis that, in the particular circumstances of this presidential election and the truly profound stakes it posed, if the Trump-Pence regime remained in power at the time of this election, it would be necessary and important to vote for Biden to deliver a decisive electoral defeat to the fascism represented by this regime. At the same time, I emphasized that simply relying on voting would likely lead to disaster, and that it was vitally important for masses of people to take to the streets in nonviolent but sustained and growing mass mobilization, with the demand that this fascist regime must be out now, as called for by refusefascism.org. So I'll break in here and say that that's sort of a shit-libby kind of an opening. It has some Trump derangement syndrome in it. Although it did get right that relying on voting would likely lead to disaster, and disaster we have. This whole next paragraph is quite shit-libby. As it turned out, masses of people did vote in large numbers to oust this fascist regime, and like Dr. Cornel West, he refuses to acknowledge that both regimes are fascist. The Clinton, Obama, George W. Bush regimes were also fascist regimes. The shit-libs fail to say that it's all neoliberal fascism. Whether it's Republican or Democrat, it doesn't matter. But to them, apparently, it matters, and that allows all of us to be sucked into the trap of lesser evil voting. But I'll start this shit-libby paragraph over again. As it turned out, masses of people did vote in large numbers to oust this fascist regime, and in doing so delivered a decisive enough electoral defeat to the Trump-Pence regime that its increasing and then massively violent attempt at a coup has been more difficult to pull off and has finally been defeated. Let me stop there and say that if there had been any desire on the CIA's part, or on the military intelligence complex's part at large, there's no way they would have let those rednecks into the Capitol. They let them into the Capitol. They were trying to make a point. It was like a false flag event. They wanted us to react. They wanted the shitlibs, not me, but us in terms of liberal, left-leaning types. They wanted us to think there was a real threat there, and there absolutely wasn't. Finally been defeated, with Trump forced to leave, while still refusing to acknowledge his loss in the election, even as Biden had to be inaugurated in a capital city that was a locked-down armed camp. You don't give Biden any credit for it being a locked-down armed camp? That was all Trump's fault, right? Yeah, I don't know why people aren't willing to talk about the fascism of Obama and Biden, and Tony Blinken while we're here, and General Lloyd Austin, and the whole pack of them, all the cabinet, all the warmongers. We're already in fascism. They brought fascism in to replace fascism. It gets worse, folks. In immediate terms, the catastrophe has been narrowly averted that would have occurred if this fascist regime had been reelected or in some other way remained in power. That was never going to happen. And on that basis, further consolidated its fascist rule and been more fully emboldened and unleashed to implement its horrific program. Now let me stop again. There isn't anything more horrific about Trump's horrific program. Bill Clinton and Barack Obama and George W. Bush and Ronald Reagan, that's all horrific. And it's all the same kind of neoliberal horrific. Yep, this author needs to pull his head out of his ass. Back to the story. The fact that the Trump-Pence regime has had to leave office is of great importance and something in itself worth celebrating. Why should we celebrate one fascism for another? A cloaked fascism at that. Yet the reality is, people who use the word reality that way, I never trust. Yet the reality is that not only in relation to this election, but throughout the 4 years of this regime's rule and its mounting atrocities, there has not been the massive nonviolent mobilization called for by Refuse Fascism to drive out this regime, and in the aftermath of the election, the streets were dominated. No, they weren't. The streets were dominated by fascist mobilizations and not by opposition to fascism. And as you know, dear viewers and listeners, I've made the case that the Trump supporters were anti-fascist in their own way. They want to overthrow the government as much as I do, but for slightly different reasons. But to the degree that we agree on economic solutions to most of our problems, we're on the same team, even if they're racist bigots and I'm not. Back to the end of this paragraph. This has resulted in a situation where, despite the Trump-Pence regime's loss in the election, the forces of fascism are still in many ways being strengthened, yes, and the opposition to this has remained much too passive and reliant on the terms set by the Democratic Party. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. Now we go back to some shit-libbery. The reality has to be confronted, the reality, that as expressed through the election, nearly half this country has passionately, aggressively, and belligerently embraced what is represented by Trumpism. This is where the snarling elitist shit-libbery comes into play. It's condescending and it ridicules people on the other side of the political aisle. The unavoidable truth is that this country, the much-proclaimed shining city on a hill, is full of fascists. Yep. In the government, at all levels, and in large parts of society as a whole. And a defining characteristic of these fascists is their fanatical allegiance to demented distortions of reality, there's that word again, which is extremely difficult and in many cases impossible to penetrate with reason and fact, because these distortions serve to reinforce their sense of threatened entitlement and render long-standing prejudices and hatreds even more virulent. So here, folks, we're falling again into that trap to make the enemy the other people, whereas the real enemy is the corporate elites. He's blaming Trump supporters instead of the actual fascists. This fascism is deeply rooted in the underlying dynamics of the capitalist imperialist system that rules in this country and in the whole history of this country, from its founding in slavery and genocide. Now that was true. Related to this is another critical truth. Biden will fail miserably in his attempt to bring about healing and unite the country. Except that Biden doesn't really want to bring healing and unite the country. He wants to serve his corporate masters. Back to the story. As I have written previously, Biden and the Democrats cannot bring the country together, as they falsely claim, because there can be no reconciliation with these fascists. These Trump-supporting fascists is what I'm assuming he's saying. Whose grievances are based on fanatical resentment against any limitation on white supremacy, male supremacy, xenophobia, rabid American chauvinism, and the unrestrained plundering of the environment, and are increasingly expressed in literally lunatic terms. There can be no reconciliation with this other than on the terms of these fascists, with all the terrible implications and consequences of that. And I'll break in and say that we've already spent 2 or 3 episodes debunking this bullshit. I've made the case that every kind of ism is based on scarcity, and when you heal the scarcity problem, a lot of these other problems go away. Trying to paint the other side of the voting public as deplorables hasn't gotten us very far. If this writer really wants reconciliation, he's going to have to get over his attitude. And no, I'm not advocating white supremacy, male supremacy, xenophobia, and on and on. But I'm saying that we need to start with economic solutions, and then we'll figure out, like Malcolm X figured out, that we can work together with people who right now are afraid of us. And by us, I mean not only everyone who is suffering under neoliberalism's cruel rule, but also everybody else who doesn't want that to happen. So this last sentence is purely hyperbolic. There can be no reconciliation with this. That's what shitlib Paul Street says. It's also what shitlib Nathan Robinson of Current Affairs says. I don't know why I'm picking on Paul Street more than the other shitlibs. There are a whole pile of neoliberal pundits who are pretending to be progressives who say the same thing. Back to the story. There is no question that many of the policies of the Biden-Harris administration, why doesn't he call the Biden-Harris administration the Biden-Harris regime like he does with the Trump-Pence regime? There is no question that many of the policies of the Biden-Harris administration will be different than the blatant atrocities of the Trump-Pence regime, and things will definitely feel different with Biden and Harris. Yeah, it'll be cloaked. But the way they will try to unite the country in line with the interests and requirements of this system of capitalism imperialism is something that no decent person should want or be part of. in seeking to reestablish and reinforce stability at home and to maintain the U.S. as the world's number one oppressive power, Biden, Harris, and the Democrats, as well as other mainstream institutions such as the New York Times and CNN, will make determined attempts to keep the masses of people who have righteously hated the fascism of the Trump-Pence regime and who aspire to a more just world firmly tied to this system, restricting their political vision and activity within the confines of this system, preventing them from acting in their own fundamental interests and those of humanity as a whole. So this guy is making his plea directly to the shitlibs. He's trying not to offend any of them. Whereas I say, fuck 'em! And to the degree that things are maintained within the limits of this system, this will actually have the effect of furthering the horrors for humanity that are built into the system. That's all exactly right. While also reinforcing and giving further impetus to the underlying economic and the social and political forces that will strengthen the fascism that has already shown great strength in this country and a number of others. Yes, neoliberal fascism is a worldwide problem. And that's why all of the riots and protests around the world are not televised, at least not on our TVs here in this country. Even as it is critically important, that's what manipulators always say, this is really, really important, that the voting in this election has resulted in a decisive defeat for the Trump-Pence regime and its attempts to more fully consolidate fascist rule, this must not be allowed to obscure this crucial truth. The polarization between Democrats and Republicans, as expressed through the electoral process in this country, involves contention over how to uphold and pursue the interests of the capitalist imperialist system and rule by the capitalist class. It does not represent the fundamental divisions in society and the world, nor the fundamental interests of the masses of people in this country and in the world as a whole. Nor can the profound problems confronting humanity be solved, in fact they can only get worse, within the confines of this murderously oppressive and exploitative system and the chaos and destruction it will continue to unleash on a massive scale so long as it continues to dominate the world. And that's why I read this to you. That's all very true. This is fact-based, scientifically established truth. Ignoring, denying, or trying to pursue individual escape from this reality will only make things worse and hasten disaster. I'll warn you, the next sentence begins with bullshit. The electoral defeat of the Trump-Pence regime only buys some time. No, it doesn't. Both in relation to the imminent danger posed by the fascism this regime represents, and more fundamentally in terms of the potentially existential crisis humanity is increasingly facing as a consequence of being bound to the dynamics of this system of capitalism imperialism. But in essential terms, time is not on the side of the struggle for a better future for humanity. So the time there is must not be squandered, mired in oblivious individualism and political paralysis or misspent on misdirected activity that only reinforces this system, which perpetuates endless horrors for the masses of humanity and has brought things to the brink of very real catastrophe. I'm of the opinion, dear viewers and listeners, that Biden will hasten this catastrophe even faster. I believe that he works for transnational corporations, he's in their pocket, his strings are being pulled by them even more than were the strings of Donald Trump. Although they're both neoliberal puppets, I think that Biden is the greater threat because his strings are attached better. Back to the story. A profoundly different polarization must be brought about in line with the potential for a radically different and better world representing the actual interests of the masses of people and ultimately all of humanity. So I'll break in here and ask, why is he saying this while openly ridiculing Trump supporters? If he wants to represent the actual interests of the masses of people, he needs to stop calling them things and get the battle array pointed back up at the oligarchs where it belongs. If this is how all communists are, there's no wonder that people mistrust them. I can picture this guy being somewhat authoritarian. Back to the story. A radically different approach to understanding and acting on the relations and problems of society must be taken up, a thoroughly and consistently scientific method and approach. Sir, I think you need a radically different approach as to how you characterize Trump supporters.
Back to the story.
Among many who have been outraged by the way Trump has consistently engaged in both pathological and purposeful lying, as though Biden hasn't done the same thing, there has been a great deal of emphasis on the importance of science and truth, on facts and evidence-based reasoning. This is focused to a significant degree on the criminally anti-scientific approach that Trump and Pence have taken to the COVID-19 pandemic and the encouragement of this anti-scientific madness among the fascist base in society at large. Again, he's in trouble calling it a fascist base because the people themselves are populist and not fascist. This is a critical error in this guy's thinking. All of which has led to at least tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands of unnecessary deaths as well as unnecessary hardship and suffering for masses of people. This emphasis on science and the scientific method is vitally important, but it is also necessary to emphasize the real need and great importance of being consistent with this and following scientifically determined truth wherever it leads in order to correctly understand reality in every sphere of life and society. So, to him, scientifically determined truth is reality, which could leave out a lot of spiritual aspects of reality. If you're a spiritualist, you don't believe that scientific reality is more real than spiritual reality. In fact, you may think the exact opposite. Personally, I believe that there are many pathways to truth. I suppose that's why growing up, I never thought much about communism. Even though I'm a rebel and a heretic, I'm not exactly an atheist. And communism was always portrayed as atheistic, and this guy isn't doing anything to alleviate that. Back to the story. This means fully breaking with and moving beyond an approach of merely embracing truths or supposed truths with which one is comfortable, while rejecting, dismissing, or evading actual truth. Actual is another word that control freaks like, which may make one uncomfortable. One important dimension of this is rising above and repudiating methodologically the philosophical relativism of identity politics, which does a great deal of harm through its own version of reducing truth to partial, unsystematized experience and subjective sentiment. My truth, our truth, in opposition to real, there's that word, objective, there's another one that control freaks like, real objective truth, which is correctly... This guy is really pushy, which is correctly, scientifically arrived at through an evidence-based process to determine whether or not something, an idea, theory, assertion, etc., corresponds to actual, there's another word, material reality. While politically, this identity politics may be proceeding from a desire to oppose various forms of oppression, even if this is often characterized and vitiated by people of different identities, seeking to claim ownership of opposition to oppression in terms of epistemology, the approach to understanding reality and arriving at the truth of things. His version of the truth of things is very narrow, though. Identity politics has a lot in common with the reliance on alternative facts, assertions that are in opposition to actual facts, often wildly so, that is the hallmark of the fascists. And that's the hallmark of the Clinton team as well. Even as it is important to recognize the political distinctions involved, the situation is far too serious and the stakes far too high to allow ourselves to fall into or conciliate with any form of opposing the scientific method and its pursuit of objective truth about actual reality. Actual reality. That's overdoing it a little. No, I don't trust this guy as far as I can throw him. This guy is never going to unite the masses with that sort of attitude. And the fact is that atheists are just as dogmatic as people who follow religions. They're opposed to seeing any kind of truth other than what is illuminated by the very narrow beam of science. There's a lot of truth that science can't reveal. Or as my son Ethan would say, has not yet revealed. And this guy would just say, nope, that truth isn't really truth. If you can't see it with science, it's not there. And for that reason, and because of that bullshit, there's never going to be a significant mass movement of people led by such thinking. To understand why we are confronted with the situation we are, it is necessary not merely to respond to, and in effect be whipped around by, what is happening on the surface at any given time, but to dig beneath the surface, to discover the underlying mainsprings and causes of things and arrive at an understanding of the fundamental problem and the actual, there's that word, solution. This means coming to the scientific understanding that we are living under a system and what that system actually is, the system of capitalism imperialism, working to grasp the deeper relations and dynamics of this system and how this is setting the framework for how different sections of society spontaneously think and react to events in society and the world, and what is the possible way forward to transforming all of this in the interests of the masses of humanity, and ultimately humanity as a whole. A crucial part of this is a scientific understanding of major changes resulting from the very dynamics and functioning of this system that have led to upheaval in society and have in significant ways fed this fascism. Changes in the capitalist imperialist economy and correspondingly in the social structure and social composition within this country, as well as internationally, which have undermined traditional forms of oppression without, however, leading to the ending of this oppression, but establishing and enforcing it in new forms while provoking what is truly a deranged, sadistic, and often violent reaction on the part of the sectors of society who have identified their interests and, in effect, their very being with the traditional forms of oppression. If you weren't persuaded to this point that this guy is a horrible writer, that last few sentences should have pushed you over the edge. Yeah, I'm gonna ditch this guy in this article, but I am gonna jump to the end and show you where he thinks we ought to be going. He's not wrong that we need to overthrow the system, but I don't think he's gonna get anywhere with his current approach. Also, I have to quibble how he uses the word this. I was always taught that after the word this, you should say this what? You can't just say all of this. All of this what? That's just one of the reasons I think he's a bad writer. And I also think he's a bad communicator, which is even worse. And he beats to fucking death the reliance on science, even though he's right. We need to use actual facts, I'm not saying we don't, but his exclusion of all other ways of seeking truth is patently offensive. I wouldn't follow this guy anywhere, even if he was leading in the right direction. So on to his conclusion. All this what, strongly points once again to the need not simply to face reality, but to consistently apply the principle that science matters and truth matters, and therefore to seriously engage the scientific analysis, which I have outlined here, of the problem facing humanity and the solution, where the world is heading now under the domination of this system, and the radically different direction it needs to and can take. It calls for a willingness to apply this same approach, that science and scientifically determined truth matter, to communism and the historical experience of the communist movement, and in particular to the new communism which has resulted from decades of work I have carried out. This new communism is a continuation of, but also represents a qualitative leap beyond, and in some important ways a break with, communist theory as it had been previously developed. Unlike those who slander and condemn or simply ignore communism and the historical experience of the communist movement, I myself have done and have led others in doing extensive, serious scientific study, investigation, and analysis of the history of the communist movement and the socialist societies it has brought into being, as well as countries that have called themselves socialist but in fact are not, such as Cuba since 1959, Venezuela in recent decades, and the Soviet Union and countries of Eastern Europe, where capitalism was restored and has reigned for more than 60 years, well before they became openly capitalist countries a few decades ago. This scientific approach has led to the conclusion that with the actual socialist societies that have been brought into being with the leadership of communists, first in the Soviet Union and then in China, before capitalism was restored in the former in the 1950s and in the latter after the death of Mao in 1976, this experience of socialism has been mainly, and in the case of China overwhelmingly, positive, while secondarily there have also been significant, in some cases serious or even grievous, errors. Drawing from this historical experience of the communist movement and a broad range of human endeavor, the new communism, as its defining method and approach, emphasizes the critical importance of science and applying the scientific method to everything, to society as well as nature. It firmly rejects any approaches that amount to applying and justifying the bankrupt and extremely harmful notion that the ends justify the means, and that truth is just an instrument of desired objectives rather than what it actually is, a correct reflection of objective reality. Actually. It is this same method and approach that has been applied to continually deepen the understanding of the nature and functioning of the system of capitalism, imperialism, that continues at this point to dominate the world, with terrible consequences and implications for humanity and its future. And this work is continuing as an important part of developing the revolutionary movement that is needed in order to finally abolish this system and bring a radically different and much better world into being. While much remains to be done and many challenges remain to be met, a scientific analysis and synthesis of fundamental questions relating to the situation facing humanity and the possibility of human emancipation can be found in both more concentrated and popular forms and in works of considerable depth in talks and writings of mine and other materials that are available at revcom.us. And a sweeping vision and concrete blueprint for a radically different and emancipating society on the road to the final goal of a communist world is set forth in the Constitution for the New Socialist Republic in North America, which I have authored. Okay, then. Now he's going to try to alleviate our concerns that he's an authoritarian. It is a fact that nowhere else in any actual or proposed founding or guiding document of any government is there anything like not only the protection but the provision for dissent and intellectual and cultural ferment that is embodied in this Constitution, while this has as its solid core a grounding in the socialist transformation of the economy with the goal of abolishing all exploitation and the corresponding transformation of the social relations and political institutions to uproot all oppression and the promotion through the educational system, that sounds scary with this guy, and in society as a whole, of an approach that will enable people to pursue the truth wherever it leads, with a spirit of critical thinking and scientific curiosity, and in this way to continually learn about the world and be better able to contribute to changing it in accordance with the fundamental interests of humanity. I don't know if I trust this guy with the fundamental interests of humanity. He seems to want to shit-can a lot of the people that matter to me. All this will unchain and unleash a tremendous productive and social force of human beings enabled and inspired to work and struggle together to meet the fundamental needs of the people, transforming society in a fundamental way and supporting and aiding revolutionary struggle throughout the world, aiming for the final goal of a communist world free from all exploitation and oppression. Those don't go together necessarily. While at the same time addressing the truly existential environmental and ecological crisis in a meaningful and comprehensive way, which is impossible under the system of capitalism imperialism. Well, he's right, it is impossible under the system of capitalism imperialism. Now he's back to shaming the rednecks. Far too many have rejected this what, or more often failed or refused to even seriously engage it because of ignorance and prejudice, which have their ultimate source in the distortion relentlessly propagated by guardians of the present order. And I think he's thinking of Trump supporters and failing to include the Clinton News Network and MSDNC viewers and listeners, and which serve to reinforce this highly oppressive order. Here it has to be said, and can be readily demonstrated, that the liberal bourgeois attack on communism is, in its own way, as ludicrous and outrageous, crudely in violation of the scientific method and blatantly in opposition to the actual facts, as the fascist mangling of truth which the liberals are forever decrying. Why, though, won't he call the liberals fascists, as they actually are? This does great harm to humanity. Refusing to apply and acting in opposition to an honest scientific approach to communism, the actual history of the communist movement, and the development of the new communism contributes to closing off the only real alternative to this truly monstrous system of capitalism imperialism, the only viable alternative that represents the fundamental interests and a future worth living for the masses of humanity and ultimately humanity as a whole. The road to a better world is not and will not be an easy one. This cannot be accomplished, this what, cannot be accomplished without determined struggle and yes, great sacrifice. But continuing on the current course under the domination of this system of capitalism imperialism means a continuation of the horrors already being perpetrated in the world today. The far worse horrors that are immediately threatening and the very real existential danger that is increasingly looming. In the face of the fascist juggernaut that is still threatening and gaining strength, which he seems to contrast with neoliberalism, and that contrast should not be made because it's not supportable. So he's looking at the juggernaut as Republican fascism as opposed to Democrat fascism, where in actual fact, they're the same thing. So I'll start that sentence over. In the face of the fascist juggernaut that is still threatening and gaining strength, large numbers of us, and I think he would include Democrats with us, who are deeply sickened and outraged by this and who aspire to something much better, have raised and rallied to the call that science and truth matter and must be our guide. Let us now be brave enough and bold enough to apply this in an unhindered way, determined to seek the truth and follow the truth wherever it leads, overcoming all obstacles to this, what, including any cherished illusions and ingrained prejudices that run counter to reality and scientifically established truth. This guy is a broken record. Let us dare to act to make a reality of what science reveals as possible, a radically different and far better world and future for humanity. I don't know about you, but I have a feeling if this guy gets in charge of things, we're going to have to overthrow him faster than we would have had to overthrow what was before him. What he says here has a dangerous whiff of something. What is that something? It smells like controlled opposition. By coddling the Democrats, he's making it easier for them to just shut up. He says he wants a revolution, but he wants it against the wrong people. And the people he's trying to stir up are on the wrong side of the class divide. You're never going to get the PMC to follow you into a revolution. If he wants a real revolution, he's going to have to start addressing the real people that have suffered the most under neoliberalism. I don't think he's talking to the real people who actually need a revolution to happen. And therefore, he's going nowhere.